CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, speaking with Adrian Wooldridge, the author of the new book, The Aristocracy of Talent. We're going through the several thousand years of the search for talent and the combination of honesty and philosophical thoroughness with the same time of prejudice in everybody who is looking for talent to maintain governance and to achieve prosperity. The blindness of everyone until the 20th century is the mother they've had, the sister they have, and the children they want to have. That's the blindness. And I don't know, other than the fact that I'm sure we're blind to something here in the 21st century, and in the 24th century, they will laugh and say something like, can you imagine they thought so well given that they were meat eaters, or something equally unexpected to condemn us. So I'm not seeking to condemn, but Adrian, it is amazing to me now to consider that women did not come to a man called Clever Tom Macaulay. Given his genius for reforming the Indian civil service, he did not see his own mother as someone to participate in decision making.
It is absolutely extraordinary that you have these great, great reformers in the middle of the 19th century who develop extremely sophisticated theories of why we should have open competition and why talent is, you know, if not quite democratic, is widely distributed to the population, certainly doesn't just reside with the aristocracy. And it doesn't occur to them to say, well, what about the and it doesn't occur to them to think, well, wait a minute, my wife is quite intelligent, or my daughter is quite intelligent, she should be allowed to join in this competition. But here we have one of the paradoxes of meritocracy. There are a lot of people who say, well, the point of meritocracy is that it's just designed by the powerful to preserve their positions. But in fact, what meritocracy does is to open the way for other people to use meritocratic arguments to say, what about me? So women come along and say, well, wait a minute, you argue for open competition, you argue for objective measurements, you argue for examinations. You can't simultaneously make that argument and not allow women to take part. So they don't say get rid of the system, they say make the system work properly. And indeed, you have this extraordinary case in 1892 in Cambridge, when a woman called Philippa Fawcett sat the Cambridge Tripos in mathematics. Now, the Cambridge Tripos in mathematics, the Tripos is the final examination in mathematics, was regarded then as the hardest examination in the world, partly because it's intellectually hard, but partly because it's physically very hard, because you have a lot of papers which you have day after day after day. And so it's regarded that women are not as clever as men at mathematics, and certainly don't have the physical endurance that men have in order to be able to sit these difficult mathematical papers day after day after day after day. And so Philippa Fawcett sits this examination paper and she comes top. And that causes an enormous fuss, both in Cambridge and indeed globally. There's enormous celebration of this amongst progressives globally. But because at that point, women were not allowed to sit the examination, she doesn't get an official classification. She gets the examiners say she got the best mark, but she's not actually a proper candidate. So she comes, the top candidate, it was called in Cambridge, the senior wrangler. That was this bizarre Cambridge nomenclature for the best mathematician, the senior wrangler. And she was classified as above the senior wrangler, which I think is probably the best classification you could ever have. You're cleverer than the cleverest person in the examination. But this is the paradox of meritocracy, that it actually provides excluded groups, whether they're working class, ethnic minorities, or women or whatever, with the tools that they need to challenge the system and to be rewarded for challenging the system. Philippa Fawcett is one of the classic examples of that.
One of the ironies of the search for talent is that it is the war, the tragedy, the ghastly, inexplicable Great War that opens opportunities for women, because Wilson, Woodrow Wilson, the man of 14 points, can no longer resist the suffragettes in the United States. And I can imagine it was the same in Britain, given how women had participated in sustaining the culture through the Great War. So can we date the recognition of this blindness from the Great War, or did it come later than that? I'm noting Beatrice Webb. I mean, always pay attention to Peter Rabbit. Was that a moment when Webb was participating in these political arguments, or was it the war that opened the road for women to participate in the vote?
Well, Beatrice Webb is one of the architects of Fabianism. Unfortunately, she doesn't write books about rabbits. She writes books about trade unions and local governments and all sorts of rather worthy subjects. But she's a very, very brilliant woman. And she believes very firmly in meritocracy. She wants to create a meritocratic state. And she's one of the founders of the London School of Economics. And with her husband, she's an advocate of building a ladder of educational opportunity from the village to the LSE and Oxbridge and the rest, and very influential. She argues over and over again in favor of merit in a very powerful way. And one of the strongest arguments against socialism at that time was that, well, socialism will mean that power is wielded by people who aren't technically qualified. And at least if you've got capitalism, you'll get captains of industry who know how to run companies. And she says, no, that's not the case. In fact, as long as you have meritocracy, the captains of industry can come from the public sector as well as the private sector. And in fact, it means that you won't get the stupid sons of industrialists taking over their power. You'll get jobs running big industries and big corporations given on the basis of examinations. But I would say to your question about the wars, it's not just the First World War, because attitudes that are very deeply ingrained about the mental abilities of women or about the rightness of social deference take an enormously long time to change. The First World War certainly had a big impact and changed the mind of somebody as resistant to change as Woodrow Wilson. But the Second World War, I think, continues this operation. One of the extraordinary things that happens in the Second World War is that the war is won to a significant degree by superior intelligence, I mean, the intelligence services. If you look at Bletchley Park, over 80% of the people working at Bletchley Park are women. And a lot of the code breakers are women. They don't get as much honor as the men, but they're absolutely vital to the thing. And the way that these women are selected is that they're asked, the country started saying, who can do these crosswords? And they're just asked, people are asked to do crosswords, and they go through the country. They find people who are very good at solving puzzles, women who are very good at solving puzzles. And they say, well, why don't you apply to join this place called Bletchley? They don't really know what they're doing. And then they're bought in. So that's an example of the fact that there was lots of hidden talent in the population. Lots of people who didn't think of themselves as intellectual, but were very, very clever, were very good at crosswords or bridge or whatever. And so the state had to build a way of finding these people. They go to Bletchley and they help to win the war. So the state was forced to use all of the intellectual talents available, women as well as men.
It is extraordinary. We're going to turn to what can go wrong and why with meritocracy, but it is extraordinary to me to read the quotes that you have about how women were dismissed. The one that takes it all is Gustave Le Bon, the Frenchman, who says that women have an incapacity to reason. I wonder what his mother would have thought of him saying that she can't reason.
It is quite extraordinary. And as I say, I was talking about Philippa Fawcett, but Cambridge University, which is a great university, did not give degrees to women until 1948. It's astonishing how long these attitudes
Let us turn to what can go wrong and why in the search for talent. The aristocracy of talent, how meritocracy made the modern world. Adrian Wooldridge.